season of the One Board Podcast is brought to you by Bellwether Games. Discover joy when you play one of their expanding lineup of fun and diverse games. Bellwether Games are both high quality and enjoyable for the whole family. Visit bellwethergames.com to explore all their titles and find a new addition for your collection today.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the One Board Podcast, Season 2, Episode 1. This is Rick White coming back at you after a little bit of a break, and I'm here with the president of the Toby Mac fan club, that is Ryan Gutowski.
I hate you so much. I hate you. The fact that there's going to be a lot of people who don't know who Toby Mac is, and then the people who I know that are friends of mine that will say, Ryan hates Toby Mac. Why would he do that to him? Oh, I'm so angry at you right now. I can't believe this.
This is how I wanted to start off season two, is to make you angry.
Oh, this is so bad. And somebody sent me a text a couple weeks ago and made that joke. He was like, I bought you a Toby Mac CD for Christmas. I was like, you're such a jerk. We had this debate in our family about, like, the kids will be like, oh, that one song that Toby Mac did, I really dig it. And so they'll want to hear that one song. And I'm like, you know, this is still garbage music, right? And so in our family, it's a point of contention. And
I'm going to make sure I play that all the albums in a row tonight, just in honor.
Please don't. This is the worst. Rick, I've missed podcasting with you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I've been sitting around watching Olympics all day long and all day yesterday. It's been fantastic. So I am really wanting to ski down a slope and fling myself off of it, but I can't really do that, so I'm going to sit here and make a podcast with you instead.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a good, you know, consolation prize.
That's my alternative choice.
Yeah. So Erin is watching figure skating right now, so she cannot be with us. Figure skating is better than podcasting, apparently. So
yeah, that's just not acceptable, but whatever.
Not at all. So this season, we're going to do things a little differently. So Rick, myself, Erin, and some guests from time to time will be coming on the show. And we're going to do the first segment of the show. We're going to do, what are we playing? What are some games that we're playing around our houses with our family and friends? And then we've got top five lists every other episode. So people enjoy listening to people's top five. It kind of informs the games that they enjoy most. And so today we have a top five list that you guys might enjoy, some of the newer games that we've played and enjoyed between Rick and I. And as much as we can, Rick and myself are going to try to merge our top five lists to make them cohesive. So we're not giving you 10 different games, but we're giving you five that the two of us are really digging. And then we're also, every other episode, we're going to have an interview with either a developer or a game designer or a writer or somebody who is in the games space and doing big things. So I hope that sounds good.
Yeah, I'm excited about season two. I'm glad we got renewed. You know, there was some questions about it for a while of whether the network was going to pick us up, but we got that second round of episodes ordered, so I'm excited.
That's right. There was also the opportunity to go to the CW if nobody picked us up, because CW is where things go to die. So
right, and I'm hoping for a spinoff at some point. I'm really just in it until I get my own show, but you know, we'll do what we can.
Hey. That's what I'm talking about. So
Ryan, tell me what games have you been playing this weekend? I know you had one of your kiddos had a big birthday this weekend, so I'm sure you did some gaming around that.
Yeah. So we had some gaming going on. It was a lot of fun. One of the things that I realized is that the games that I like might not be the games that little kids like. So
no.
Yeah, I know. Stupid little kids. So, I don't know. There's some classics busted out this weekend. This weekend was pretty good because I think that we're coming off of a rough couple of weeks just with just schedules and everything and everybody being all over the place. And we got to sit down and have some good game time. my daughter's 10th birthday. Kendall turned 10 years old, and so that was really cool. We did some gaming for her birthday. She has been all about Go Nuts for Donuts. That is, I think if you look at my Board Game Geek play profile, you'll see that I play a lot of Go Nuts for Donuts right now. That's been my life since Christmas, it seems. The game is fun. I actually reviewed it for One Board Family recently, so you can go to oneboardfamily.com and find our Go Nuts for Donuts review. It's very odd because the game is fun, but if you have the same exact thinking pattern as somebody else at the table, it can be miserable because you're not getting any points. You're just sitting there trying to get the same card, and the person across from you is blocking you, and you just glare at him and you want to punch him right in the face. Go Nuts for Donuts, the first time I played it, I hated it. I was like, this is a broken game. And then as I've played more, I've played it probably a dozen times now. It's really fun. We introduced one of my daughter's friends who spent the night. She played it with us. She loved it. She immediately, as soon as we finished it, she was like, let's play it again. Let's play it again. Let's play it again. So that was really cool. We've been playing a lot of that. I bought Aaron Viticulture. Rick, have you played Viticulture or know much about it?
I have not, but I know a little bit about it. But please inform me, sir.
Yeah. So Viticulture, I bought it for Aaron's birthday last weekend, and we have been playing it. We got to play it again today, and it's just a great game. The game is about running a vineyard, and you're making wine. You're taking grapes. You're putting grapes in the field, growing these grapes, taking them, putting them on the crush pad, and then making wine out of them. And so the game is this worker placement game, which Aaron loves. And so it has a lot of moving parts. And it was cool because today as we played with a friend of ours who came over around after lunch. And we just hung out and played and had a good time. He got the game pretty easily, and we really dug it. I tried a different strategy this time. I tried accumulating victory points just little by little instead of like by filling wine orders and just getting a mass amount of points. I tried little by little, and sure enough, that paid off because I was able to hit 20 before they got some of their wine orders filled, which was really cool. So I'm going to try something different next time and see if I can either break the game or win easier. So it's a fun game. We played Don't Break the Ice yesterday at Kendall's birthday party. So
is that the one with the little hammer and the...
Yeah. The little hammer that everybody wanted to use to hit other people with.
Yes, that's what you're supposed to do with it, isn't it? I think it's in the rules.
That's exactly right. It's like a little baby mallet. A couple of the kids were gravitating toward like the younger kids, like 5, 6 years old, even younger than that actually. They started gravitating toward the game shelves, and I was like, well, let's go ahead and squash this because I don't need them pulling out something like Castles of Burgundy and being like, what are all these tiny pieces? And throwing them around the room.
Let me put them in my mouth.
Yes. So we played that, and we played a game called Super Kitty Bug Slap, which is from Steve Jackson Games. That one's pretty fun. It's, Egyptian Rat Screw? Do you know that game?
You can't say that when you play with cards.
I'll bleep the whole thing out. Yeah, but it's this little like recognition game where it's like slap the card before somebody else slaps it, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That's what Super Kitty Bug Slap is. You've got a specific cat. So the cat might be square, orange, and have a red bug on its head. Well, now you can slap any cat that's in the middle of the table that matches any of those three elements. And so it's cool. It's a cool little game. It's simple, but I think that the kids, a wide age range, can play that one. That was a Super Kitty Bug Slap from Steve Jackson Games. That one was pretty cute. It was fun.
I need to look into some more games like that. We've started hosting our church group on Wednesday nights here, and there's a bunch of younger kids, and when they go, board games to them, they're like, these are for me. And then they go over and start pulling stuff, and they're like, can I play this? I'm like, no. So, yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
I think that would be a good one. It only plays four players, I wish it was a little more, but it's still like a solid, kids are going to understand it. They get it. Pattern recognition, smacking things. It's fun.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, for me, not this weekend, but the weekend before, I was actually at Game-O-Rama nice. Here in Atlanta. And so I got to do some gaming there. So for those of you that don't know, Game-O-Rama is basically a board game convention but mostly centered around just playing games. And so there are shelves just full of games, and you can sit down and play with anybody, really. I mean, you just kind of wait around, and eventually somebody will be available to play a game with you. And so that was what I did that weekend. So when I first arrived, I found a play group real quick, and they were breaking out a game called, I think it's Finca or Finca, F-I-N-C-A. I had never heard of it before. Have you heard of that game?
I have not heard of that one, Rick.
So it's from 2009, so it's a little bit older. But basically, it's a game in which all the players are on this this wheel of different tiles. It's supposed to be kind of like a windmill, and you move your characters. There's some rules regarding your movement, but when you move them, you get specific resources that are all like different types of fruit and nuts and things like that. And then as you go through the game, you can get tiles for a certain amount of fruit and nuts that are worth points. And then later, once there's like a stack of tiles at like probably 10 to 12 different locations around the map. And so you clear those out, and then there's a bonus awarded to whoever has the most of a particular fruit or different item at that time, and that gives you even more points. And then you get points for having, you know, a point card worth 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7. Whoever is the first one to collect those gets a bonus tile, and the next person gets a bonus tile worth less points. There's just points everywhere. But basically, it's about kind of creating a plan of attack based around these resources. There's a really cool mechanic that if you need to get a resource and there aren't enough of those resources left in the pile, everybody has to put all of that resource back so that you can take yours out. So that's kind of a twist on resource management I had not seen. Yeah. I played a round where I purposely did that. I didn't really need the resource, but I wanted people to not be able to purchase what they wanted.
Gotcha.
And one of the guys I was playing with did not like that. It was like, I have never seen anybody play it that way. And I was like, well, it seems like it's part of the rules. I guess I can do it.
So in other words, you should go back and listen to the How Not to Be a Jerk in a Board Game that we...
Yes.
The podcast
yes, that we... Yes, I did not follow that very well.
Yeah.
I played a few others. I played... Great Western Trail, which is pretty...
So, let me ask you how... I know you're going to explain it, but what did you think of Great Western Trail? That is actually one of my current, like, I want that game so bad type of games. How'd you feel about it?
I thought it was okay. I'd probably play it again. And it's got a whole lot of rules. And it's But it's not all that complicated. Once you get into the groove of it, you know, you get going. But I don't know. I would play it again. I'm not sure I'll ever buy it. But it's definitely a good game to play for those that aren't familiar with it. It involves kind of placing buildings around this big map and building up. I'm trying to think of a simple way to explain this game, but it's kind of difficult.
It's weird because you're collecting sets of cattle, but you're also shipping these cattle across the Great Western like divide here in America.
Right.
And so it's set collection, but it's also moving around this board, and it's also trying to collect the right resources that you need. So there's a lot to it.
Yeah, you have to time when your money's fairly scarce, so you have to time when you're going to sell or collect money. You get to choose like which actions you take based on where you are on the board. And you get to place other things on the board so you can kind of plan your map out for each time. And what happens is you go through the map that you've created, and when you reach the end of it, you start back over. And so the map, as you create it, you're going through. It's like Groundhog Day, more complicated almost. But so there's really, again, I'm not doing it justice. There's a whole lot of stuff going on in this game. I think it's fun, and if you were to break it out, I would play it. But it does take a little bit. I'm glad. I was really happy with the people that I was playing with, because they were good, quick decision makers, and we got to it, got through it pretty quickly. I also played Nurishima Hex, which was a game I had heard of before but never gotten the chance to play. I played a two-player games of that because I was in a tournament that I actually ended up winning.
Nice.
So I got a copy of that game for free, which was awesome. And it's a really fun game. It's kind of a battle warfare game. And so you get a stack of hexagons that are a particular army. I had an army that was more focused on attacks with to a wide range of enemies, but also shields to protect my base. The person I was fighting up against had a lot of good defensive measures, so they could keep my people from attacking and could move around the board a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little strategic elements involved in that, and it's pretty cool. It has like a turn-based approach to it. It's a fun little game, and I think, you know, a decent two-player game that, depending on if the two people like the theme, I think, I'm not sure I'll ever get Sarah to play it because of the theme, but it's pretty fun. The artwork on it's really cool, kind of, again, though, another thing that I'll never get Sarah to play it because of the artwork, but it's pretty cool little game, Nurishima Hex. An exclamation point.
Nice.
Yes. I also saw a game that is going to be coming to Kickstarter, I believe, in a few months, and that was Gravity Warfare.
Yeah, I think you posted about that on maybe our Instagram feed.
My first Instagram post on the One Board Family feed.
There we go.
And so it has this like C-shaped disc that sits on a pivot, and so it kind of floats a little bit, and you are tasked with placing different ships on this disc based on your rolls of the dice. And also players have cards that can make it more difficult. So the disc might be spinning and you've got to place your spaceship on it as it spins. Or you have to use chopsticks to pick up the spaceship and place it on the disc, or do it with your eyes closed. And so it was pretty cool. I think it's got a few bugs that need to work out, because it took a lot longer than I thought it would for the game to play because of all the cards that people were using to mess with other people.
Okay. Maybe if it's like a one, you can only play one card during this section of the game or something like that, it would cut down on it.
Right. Something like that to kind of limit how you impact somebody, or just to kind of make the turns go by a little bit quicker. And it could have been the fact that we were, you know, being introduced to the game, but I really thought the whole concept was pretty cool. The ship itself was nice. They actually on Friday or Saturday night had a giant version of it, which was pretty awesome. That, you know, you had to have two hands to spin the spaceship, and you know, the spaceships were about this, you know, about a foot wide, and you'd be placing them on this giant spaceship. So that was really cool. That's what I'm going to be looking out for on Kickstarter. I've got some information from the designer, so that might be something we're able to kind of talk to about on our One Board Family website or on the podcast.
That sounds awesome. Cool, man. Gamerama and Atlanta Game Fest, they're put on by the same people, but that's definitely something that if you are in the Georgia area or surrounding area, that's definitely something you want to check out. They do Gamerama in February usually, and then Atlanta Game Fest in October, I believe.
It's in May. They do two Gameramas, one's in October, one's in February, and then Game Fest is in May. So plenty of options for those Atlanta folks that want to play. And it really is, it can be kind of, you know, I've been a few times and I still am a little intimidated walking in there by myself trying to find folks to play games with. But usually, more often than not, I find some good people to play games with and we get in some really solid experiences. And I get to play games that I normally wouldn't get to play. Like, my gaming group's not going to play Great Western Trail.
Yeah.
And so that was a great chance to play some games that I might not get to hit up normally.
That's awesome, Rick. Cool. Well, we're going to move on to our top five list after this break. We'll see you on the other side. And we are back. We're going to be doing top five games lists throughout this season of the One Board Podcast. And today we're going to be talking about the top five games of 2017. Now, Rick, I think that we should probably preface what this top five games list looks like, because it's not the greatest games of all time, or they're going to fit into certain categories, but they're also going to be a little different because this is a list that both you and I came up with together. So I don't know that we can take this top five list and say, oh, this is obviously number one or number two. We're just going to give you the five games exactly as we've picked them. So no matter where they fall on this list, don't take this as a, well, this game is better than this game. We're just giving you five amazing games that fit into this list.
And this is also like from our perspective, and you know, our perspective is limited to the games we've played, obviously. And, you know, kind of in the scope of what works for our particular gaming groups. Like, yeah. Gloomhaven is not on this list, you know? So that does not mean that Gloomhaven is not a good game.
That's just right.
One I haven't played, and one that probably is not going to hit as hard with our particular audience as it might with, you know, other gamers.
That's right. So let's get into this one. Top five games of 2017. One of the first ones that we added to the list is Downforce. Both Rick and I played Downforce. I've played a massive amount of Downforce over the past year, because as soon as we got a copy in September, this became one of our most played games of 2017. We've played this with family, friends, coworkers, people who don't game. I played it. In fact, last night I played Downforce with my parents. My dad is not much of a gamer, and he really only cares about dice games where, like Yahtzee, that's really all he likes. And when he played Downforce, he was like, that's not bad. That's not bad, you know? So it's almost like a ringing endorsement or some sort of a seal of approval, like a good housekeeping seal of approval type thing. So right. If my dad says, that's not bad, it's almost like an A+, I guess, somewhere around there. So Downforce.
We'll take it.
So Downforce, Rick, you've played it with us before. People are actually taking their car. They're racing it around. You're using cards to race the cars around the track. You're not just in control of your car, but everybody else's car. And then you're placing bets at three different points during the race. And the way that you win is not just by winning the race, but trying to win enough money in the bets to come out on top.
Yeah, I mean, it's got comparisons to Camel Up, which, you know, is... I think Downforce is actually a smoother game than Camel Up. There's fewer options because you're just picking from the cars and you're just moving things forward. Mm-hmm. And so I think the game goes by a little bit more smoothly, especially with maybe younger gamers or gamers that are less inclined, you know, towards board games. I played Camel Up, for instance, with some friends the other day, and they were like, I don't do betting, but I think with Downforce, if I had played that, they would have felt a little more engaged with the game. Yeah. I also kind of, you know, just because it's racing and the style that it is, it makes me think of Formula D. And Formula D is like way more complicated than this. And I think Downforce, it's racing, which, you know, many people kind of have at least a little bit of understanding and connection to that particular theme. So I think it works really well with a large variety of people. I think it's a pretty well-made game, and it works really, really smoothly.
So that's Downforce from Restoration Games. That's one of our top five from 2017.
The next game on this list is Sagrada. Now, if this, you kind of talked about your dad's recommendation of the game. It's not that bad. This game was the first game that I think we've played that Sarah then said, I think we should get a copy of that game.
Nice. That's really cool.
Sagrada, we played for the first time at your house when we came down and visited. So Sagrada is kind of centers around making stained glass windows. And while that might not sound like the most exciting theme in the world, it plays out pretty nicely. There's a handful of dice rolled and everybody gets two dice per round to add to their window. But there's different rules about the placement of those dice. So you can't put them next to dice that have the same number or color. And then on your card, each individual card has a different layout to where some of them have to be yellow in some places and some of them have to be like threes and different things like that. And so you're trying to make sure that you place these dice accurately so that you can get the most points based on some rules that are set out at the beginning of the game and a secret color that you have that gets you points at the end of the game. So it sounds a little more complicated as I'm trying to explain it, but it's a pretty simple game that I think plays really well with even newer gamers. I played it with my parents this past weekend, and they really seem to enjoy it, and they're not really gamers themselves.
That's cool. Yeah, Sagrada is a beautiful game. That's one of the games that I picked up when it this was actually a Kickstarter from Floodgate Games, and when it came into full release in 2017, I was able to pick up a copy. It actually, I got it for my birthday. That's right. And I immediately added it to my wish list on Amazon, got it for my birthday. And it's a game that we really, really enjoy. It gets a lot of play around here. It not only is it beautiful, but I think dice placement games like this really kind of make you think a little. And there's some strategic elements of do I enlist the help of, you know, some of the tools that are in the middle of the table to skirt the rules or change a die face or something like that. And it's tough because you're going to lose a point or you're going to have to give up something to make that happen. And Sagrada has a really good tug and pull of, you know, push and pull. I think that's the thing that I'm saying here. A little push and pull.
Push, pull.
Yeah,
push
there we pull. Go. You know, I was like tug and pull. No, I think those are the same things. A little push and pull of like, you know, do I want to do this? What's the outcome going to look like? Is it worth getting these 2 points if I have to sacrifice a point here? You know, right. So it's a great, great game. Probably one of my favorite dice games. So
awfully purdy.
Yes, it is. Next up on the list for our top five games of 2017 is Photosynthesis. Photosynthesis is also a beautiful game. It is made by Blue Orange Games, and the artwork is phenomenal. In this game, you are planting trees in a forest, and it plays up to 4 players. What I like about this game is a 2-player game of Photosynthesis is good, but a 4-player is very different. And so while 2 players, you may be intentionally blocking another person with your tree, everybody's trying to get these light points to spend to get bigger trees, better trees, to plant more stuff. And so as the sun rotates around the board, your trees are absorbing this light and you're getting points for it. And what's cool about this game is that all the trees are these 3-dimensional cutout cardboard trees. You have little tokens for your seeds that you're going to plant around the board, and everything is happening in the center of this, almost like this field where these trees are growing up. And there's some strategy behind it because you can plant your tree and then grow your tree faster than the person next to you and start to block out the sunlight from them and start absorbing more sunlight for yourself. So it's a really fun game. The kids, I think My oldest daughter's not, she's probably the least gamery of the five of us in our family. And she played it and she almost won. She was like, I really like that game. That's pretty good. You know, the game plays in about 45 to 50 minutes, somewhere around there, and, has some good decision making in it. And it is a beautiful game. So,
yeah, it looks so cool. I saw some people playing it at Gamerama and was like, drawn to it. I was kind of almost like starting to just kind of hover around them, and to a point where they were like, excuse me, my dog decided he needed a shake.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Where I was, they were probably like, what's wrong with this guy? And I was like, this looks so cool. So I'm hoping to get my hands on a copy, or to at least just steal yours at some point.
That's right. Well, you can steal mine and I can get above and below back, since it's been like 5 shows in 2 months. And I still don't
know. I'm sure you're very sad now.
I'm going to eventually get it back. I'll just show up at your house one day.
Hey, how's it going? Give me my game back.
So the next one on our list, again, this is not in any particular order. These are the 5 games that we picked from 2017. The game Azul. Azul has gotten a lot of praise.
There is no Dana, only Azul. Wait, yes. Is this something different? Are we talking about
This is something different. Okay. Azul is this beautiful game of these tiles that you're going to be playing. I think I got to play it. You guys, if you've listened to the podcast for a little while, Bob, who was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago as a guest, Bob brought Azul in and we got to play during lunch. This game is fantastic. You are basically, you've got these little factories that are making these tiles, and you're grabbing a group of similar tiles. So let's say there's 3 red tiles and a couple other tiles in this factory. You're going to take the 3 red tiles for yourself and you're going to throw the remaining tiles into the center of the circle. And you're going to use those tiles and you're going to line them up on this row. What makes this game difficult is you can't use those tiles until you fill up an entire row. So you're strategically placing tiles to make sure that you get just enough tiles, but you don't want to go over too many tiles because then you'll start to accrue some negative points and things like that. And the point is to transition the tiles from one area to this mosaic that is on the right-hand side of the board. Everybody has this player board and you're transitioning them to this right-hand side of the board. And you create this beautiful little piece of artwork, you know, with your tiles, but where you place them depends on how many points you're going to get. When you place 2 tiles next to each other, you're going to get a bonus. When you place 3 tiles next to each other, you're going to get a bonus. So each time you have these tiles touching, you're getting more and more, you're accruing more and more points. And there's a lot of strategies to the game. It's very tactile because the tiles are these little square plastic pieces, and they just feel really good. They almost feel like glass. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think they're plastic. I'm almost sure they're plastic. But anyway, it's a fantastic game. I think Plan B Games was the creator. Azul definitely deserves all the praise from last year. And actually, Azul is on a ton of top 5 lists, top 10 lists from 2017. I felt like we needed to add it to this one because it plays so well, and I think a wide age range of people enjoy this one.
Awesome. Well, to wrap up our list, you know, I've been quiet for a little while because I haven't gotten to play these awesome games of Photosynthesis and Azul. But it's time for you to be the jealous one because I like
how you added extra S's to Photosynthesis.
Photosynthesis.
I feel like if you could add a couple more S's, that would be great.
Yes.
So okay, what game do you have, Rick?
My game is Bob Ross, The Art of Chill. Now, please don't stop the podcast. Please wait. No, wait. Come back. Wait. Okay. If you're still there. Bob Ross, The Art of Chill is based indeed on The Man and His Afro from PBS. I remember going, my grandmother used to pick me up from elementary school every day, and she worked like a mile away from my school, and so I'd have to sit with her until my dad got off work, and they had a TV that only had the rabbit ears, and so the only thing worth watching, well, all the rest of it was like talk shows she wouldn't let me watch. So on PBS, Bob Ross would play, and I'd sit there and say, what the heck is this man doing? But now, like, I don't know. There's something about Bob Ross. He's so positive and so upbeat. And so this game that they've made is awesome, and it's all about becoming the most chill. And so the way that you do this is by collecting cards that represent paints and different paint brushes, and playing those cards to paint different features from paintings that you'll put up. So it comes with like a little easel, and it has about 12 different paintings that you randomly go through as the game goes on. So you usually hit about 3 or 4 paintings in one game. But you get points based on how much paint was involved, and were you the first person to paint it, and did you paint it before Bob did? And there's these little cards called chill cards. So you roll a die, and it has the greatest die side ever, because it's just this little silhouette of Bob's beard and his afro. Anytime you roll that, you get a chill card, which generally gives you bonuses or makes it to where it impacts the game in some way. Almost always positive. Actually, I think it is always positive. And there's always these little tiny Bob Ross quotes at the bottom of each card, which we, of course, read in the most chill voice that we can possibly come up with. It sounds silly, and it is a bit silly, I guess, but it really is a strong game. It's fun, and that was another game we played this weekend with my parents, and they thought it was going to be so weird, and they were really into the game. My mom ended up winning, and she never wins board games, so I think it's her new favorite game.
That's cool.
We always load up Netflix whenever we're playing, and watch Bob Ross in the background while playing Bob Ross. So that's always been pretty fun. But I think it might be a Target exclusive. I could be wrong on that. But
yeah, I think it was a Target exclusive for the holidays. I don't know if it's going to see a wider release, but it was a Target exclusive from what I understood. So I think a lot of this game is the atmosphere you set and the people that you're playing with. Kind of like, I think of games like Sheriff of Nottingham. Sheriff of Nottingham is only fun when you really play with people who get into it and have fun with it and act the part and be a little cheesy, you know? So if you can find those people that will endure your Bob Ross fan stories.
I've written them.
You have a whole library of Bob Ross fan fiction.
Bob Ross fan fiction. I've got it. No, I mean, you've got to have the right attitude in this game. But if you can manage to pull it off and not take yourself so seriously for a little while, I think you'll have a great time with this one.
That's awesome. And as gamers, we should not take ourselves too seriously. This should be something fun that we enjoy. And that's why you want to stay away from Facebook gaming groups. No, I'm just playing.
Yes.
They're not all bad. Just some.
Called out, suckers, all of you.
Anyway, Rick, thanks for making this top 5 games list for 2017. I think we have some pretty cool games on here, some pretty chill games. You guys can check out any of these games on this list. We're going to put links to the games in the description of this podcast. And if we've done I think we've done reviews for Downforce, Sagrada, and Photosynthesis. So you'll be able to check out full reviews of those three on oneboardfamily.com.
Yeah, I'm sure Bob Ross will be on the way soon. How do I have a chill mindset while also getting things done? It's something I got to find a balance to.
Well, Rick, that'll about do it for the first episode of Season 2 of the One Board Podcast. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to subscribe to this podcast in your podcast, whatever, your podcast viewing thing. I don't know. Wherever you get podcasts. if you go to the store and pick up your podcasts at the corner store, be sure to rate us and review us there. You know, iTunes, that's a good place to rate us and review us. Try that one. What else? Rate us and review us. You know what? Actually, let's just do it this way. Yell out a rating right now where you're sitting wherever you're listening to this, yell out a rating.
On a bus or in your car.
Yell out a number from 1 to 10 and just say, 8! That's good enough for us. Just rate us. That's all we care about. So
thank you.
Be sure to subscribe. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you find your podcast. We greatly appreciate you listening. And we've got a couple things that we're going to be interacting with you, the listener, on. So be sure to go to facebook.com/oneboardfamily. We're going to be asking questions so that they can be incorporated into the podcast as we move forward with this new season. So first of all, thanks to Paige West, who gave us the new tagline for the ending of our of this new season. Thanks so much. We appreciate your feedback. And this has been One Board Podcast, and we'll see you at the table.